Welcome. This is Ikana Day Unplugged, and today is Tuesday, August 15th, 2017. I am Ann Picker, Ikana Day's chief economist, and with me today is Mark Pender in the U.S. Our man in London, Jeremy Hawkins, is on vacation. Mark, there was some good news this morning from U.S. retail sales and the Empire State Survey. But there was also good news from Japan yesterday and from Germany and the UK today. Both Germany and Japan released their first estimates of second quarter GDP. For Japan, it really surprised. It was much stronger than expected. On the quarter, GDP was up a full 1%, or an annualized pace of 4%. This was the fastest since late 2015 and exceeded the forecast of 2.6% growth. And it accelerated from first quarter's 1.5%. Household spending and business investment, just what you would like to see, drove the economy. Interestingly, with the exception of merchandise trade, the economy was firing on all cylinders in the second quarter. Both government consumption and investment provided a positive contribution for the first time in almost 3 years. And households finally seem to have overcome the negative impact of the consumption tax increase from 2014. Households appear to be spending now in relation to regular wages rather than their bonuses. So strong private construction growth was no surprise. And even if GDP slows in the second half of the year, it will still remain above trend with capacity already tight. There was a replacement cycle in play for electronics and autos, and spending rose despite the fact extremely tight labor markets were still delivering only sluggish increases in wages. Seems to be an interesting problem that exists more than just in Japan. The BOJ will, despite the good data, will probably continue its easing framework for some time here. But the modest 0.4% annual increase in domestic demand deflator underlines that strong growth has yet to deliver strong price gains. This morning we had two other releases, economic data releases of note. One was from the UK, and there its CPI increased 2.6% for the second month on the year. And this reflects the declining influence of the drop in sterling a year ago. The BOE expects CPI to peak in October at around 3%, and the bank expects the CPI to stay above its 2% target for the next 3 years based on the experience of the previous decline in sterling 10 years ago at the start of the financial crisis. It is doubtful that the data would encourage any new members of the Monetary Policy Committee to join the two colleagues who already favor an interest rate increase. Finally, Germany. Flash GDP increased 0.6% on the quarter and was up 2.1% from a year ago. This will no doubt help Angela Merkel in her quest for another term in office. She already has a comfortable lead for the September 24th elections. Growth came from domestic demand as spending in both households and government increased markedly. Corporate investments in plant and machinery also increased from the first quarter, but foreign trade weighed because imports grew more strongly than exports. I should mention that the euro area GDP turn comes tomorrow morning, Wednesday. So what's new in the U.S.?
What was the deflator for the Germany GDP? Did they show any inflation?
Germany?
Yeah.
It's running around 1.2% or so.
Okay, so it's still weak. So we had some inflation in the BO in the UK, but that's not a surprise. They seem to be the place where we are seeing inflation. I guess that's related to sterling. But yeah, does that sound right?
What?
No, we're talking about BOE inflation, about Bank of England, and we had an inflation reading out of the UK, which seemed pretty high, right? I mean, the high 2%, 3% range, which exceeds the other readings we're seeing. We didn't see any much inflation in Japan. And I think that's the story right here with the U.S. We had this really remarkable run of economic data this morning that has really turned around kind of the look going into the second half as far as growth goes. But it's the same thing. We're getting a lack of inflation. We had import and export prices today. And import prices really were flat, almost dead flat, and had a little bit of a boost from petroleum, but that goes in and out. And the main trends for finished goods and those kinds of prices are dead flat. We're really not seeing any benefit yet from the lower dollar helping to make imports more expensive, which isn't good for you and me buying things, but it's good for the Fed. We get less for our money, but it's good for the Fed who's trying to bring in inflation.
I would like to correct myself on the CPI from Germany. It was 1.7%.
Okay.
On the year.
Okay. It's still a modest. And what we really had here today was the big report was retail sales, and it rose 0.6% in July. There's a few interesting things about this report. It includes big upward revisions to the prior month, which are going to give a lift to second quarter GDP revision estimates. And also this morning, we also had a little bit of an uptick more than expected in business inventories, which may also add a little bit to that. So now we're talking about maybe second quarter GDP, maybe around the 3% line, which is a pretty good score. And the expectations will now be to hold that and to extend that. The retail sales report surprised, really with a big surprise of the retail sales report came from the vehicles, which showed a big gain. Now, the early signal we had in July was from unit sales, which were reported by manufacturers. But this data doesn't always make a one-to-one correspondence with dollar sales. Unit sales are different, of course, than dollar sales. But those unit sales data do not strip out businesses. And this is retail sales that we're talking about. We're talking about consumer spending. And business investment is something else. And those numbers go someplace else. So that was really the head fake that we got from the early indications on today's retail sales report. But the numbers here are very, very positive. Non-store retailers are leading. I think they got a boost from Amazon's promotion during July. And we also had building materials. This is residential investment. That's a very, very strong positive.
Mark?
Yeah?
The fact that people are renovating rather than moving, has that had an impact on our housing data?
Oh, that is so a perfect hook into the housing market index, which also came out this morning, Tuesday morning. That showed housing market index is a survey done by builders, and builders have been very, very optimistic. But what they're not showing is any strength at all in traffic. So they're reporting lots of sales activity and lots of confidence in future sales activity, but the people walking through their offices is flat. And that hints at a lack of first-time buyers, and that has to do with affordability of homes, which can be very pricey, especially for new homes, which are averaging over $300,000 apiece over the country, and also lack of available houses to choose from there on the market. Some places are completely locked out. And so a lot of people have to be content with their old digs, and renovation is where you would see that. And I think that's what we saw a little bit, at least for 1 month here, in the retail sales report. But what this does for retail sales had been the lagging component for the consumer spending. Now, consumers spend money on services, housing, And of course, retail sales are the goods that they go and buy, or not necessarily go and buy. We had they can also order them from Amazon, for instance, or and that's what we saw, another good solid gain in the non-store component of this report, where the e-commerce is the dominant subcomponent of this. And when you strip out e-commerce, you see it in other data, you see it running at an increasing share of total retail sales, still under 10%, about 8.5% at the last reading, and maybe given the strength that we've seen in the second quarter in this component, in this report, maybe we'll move to the 9% range. But it's been steadily increasing over the year, but it's come at the expense of the brick and mortar stores. But together, everything is moving up. We know we're getting 3-4% year-on-year sales growth in consumer in retail sales and consumer spending, and of course that's the bread and butter for GDP. And this really is reflecting the strength of employment. And wage growth may not be spectacular, but people have jobs, and it is definitely showing up in consumer spending. And I'd just like to say now, in August, this is a very interesting month. There's been a lot of domestic events this month. And however that may sway consumer confidence, and however consumer confidence may relate to consumer spending, when you have these kinds of events, you draw people to the television. And when you draw them to the television, you keep them out of the malls. And so this will be these kinds of effects reverse very quickly. But it is a risk, I think, for August retail sales. So I just wanted to add that.
What about Empire?
Empire State, well, it is on fire. The regional factory reports have been very, very strong all year. And they have and the government data, the directional signals from these regional reports are straight up. And we do see, and that does correlate to what the government data has been showing us with a lagging and comparatively limited effect, that the factory sector is on the rise, is improving, though to a much smaller degree. But the indication is still positive. Empire State, which tracks New York manufacturers for their August, it's the first indication we're getting on August activity in the factory sector. It's incredibly positive. It's unusually positive for a report that has been strong all year. So their sample, which may only number a couple of hundred, are reporting increased activity from already good, solid rates in July. Maybe this is a dollar effect, lowering prices for exports. But in the Empire State report, what we saw was really indication of a pricing discounting. Their selling price, their selling traction slowed at the same time that their new orders jumped, which may suggest that they're giving some price concessions. But in any case, it's good to see strong new orders. Employment wasn't so great in this report, and unfilled orders are in still contraction, which is a negative for employment. You need to have orders piled up before you really get to go and hire. But very, very positive. It's a very positive indication for Thursday's Philly Fed report, which was the first of all these regional reports and the most closely watched of all these regional reports, which just caught fire at the end of last year.
Thanks, Mark. Until next week.